The Apocrypha, Their Relevance to Biblical Studies and Pastoral Ministry, by Davidson Raza Fiarivuni. Davidson Raza Fiarivuni, PhD, is a professor of New Testament Studies, Adventist University of Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. Many Christians, including clergy, may not know the Apocrypha, the writings of the Second Temple period. Even if they do, the writings are often brushed aside. This article assesses the value and use of the Apocrypha in biblical studies and pastoral ministry. New Testament scholar Craig A. Evans says, quote, "If one is to do competent New Testament exegesis, one must know something of the Apocrypha and of their relevance for the New Testament," end quote. Rightly so, since, quote, "some of these writings are vital for understanding the New Testament," end quote. Bruce D. Chilton, scholar of early Christianity and Judaism, argues that, quote, "Christian theology shares its origins with early Judaism. Therefore, it cannot be fully appreciated without reference to its matrix," end quote. The New Testament was not born in a vacuum, and its writers should be placed within their Jewish milieu. By doing this, the one who knows, quote, "all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews," end quote, will certainly appreciate and understand better the New Testament and, as a Bible interpreter, will find such knowledge useful in his or her task. In the process of understanding the Apocrypha, the following literature needs to be noted. Greek version of the Old Testament. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament in the 3rd century BC, the version used by Christians in the diaspora, and it is quoted in the New Testament along with the Hebrew Bible. Both the Septuagint and the New Testament use the same Greek language, Koine Greek. Old Testament Apocrypha. The major apocryphal books are Tobit, Judith, Sirach, Wisdom of Solomon, Baruch, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. Since there is an ongoing debate in the church concerning the use of the Apocrypha, a brief discussion on it is important. According to Jewish tradition, after the cessation of prophecy, its quote-unquote cessation is connected with the departure of God's presence, or the Shekinah, from the temple, which presages its doom and destruction. Jeremiah is identified as the last of the prophets. Elsewhere, it is reported that the Holy Spirit ceased after Malachi. In other words, the death of Malachi signaled the end of prophecy, and any subsequent writings would not be inspired and thus not accepted as part of the Jewish canon. The abundant testimonies from Jewish writings themselves attest that apocryphal books were not part of the Jewish canon. Apocryphal books were preserved by the church, not by the synagogue. Ellen G. White only once in her writings mentions these writings. Quote, "I saw that the Apocrypha was the hidden book, and that the wise of these last days should understand it. I saw that the Bible was the standard book," end quote. While the debate is ongoing about what she exactly meant by that statement, it is clear that, like her many other allusions to passages found in the canonical scripture, these allusions to Apocrypha may only, quote, "reflect her familiarity with these apocryphal texts," end quote, found in her Bible, and do not mean, quote, "she considered them as inspired," end quote. Nevertheless, nowhere is she against reading or understanding these writings. Old Testament Pseudepigrapha. These writings are numerous and diverse, among which are Jubilees, Testament of 12 Patriarchs, Letter of Aretias, Enoch, Martyrdom and Ascension of Isaiah, Assumption of Moses, and Jannes and Jambres. Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls comprise about 900 scrolls, of which about 220 are Bible scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit a variety of writings, rules of the community, halakhic texts, eschatological writings, exegetical literature, parabiblical literature, poetic texts, liturgical texts, and astronomical texts. Philo. Philo was a Jewish philosopher living in Alexandria at the beginning of the 1st century. Josephus was a priest, a Pharisee, and a Jewish historian who narrated the war between Jews and Romans, which led to the destruction of the temple in AD 70. Targumim. Targums are the rendering of the Old Testament into Aramaic for the Jewish worshipers after the Babylonian exile. Well-known targums to the Pentateuch are those of Onkelos and Pseudo-Jonathan. Jonathan also wrote targums to the prophets, and there are targums to the writings. Rabbinic literature, Mishnah and Talmud, it is important to mention that rabbinic literature does not chronologically fall under Second Temple literature. The Mishnah was compiled about AD 200, the Talmud about AD 500. The corpus was shaped by the Hillelites. Even though it was compiled after the time of the New Testament, it contains traditions in existence around the time of the New Testament. Use of the Apocrypha in the New Testament. As pointed out earlier, apocryphal books were not part of the Jewish canon. The Jews in the New Testament time did not recognize them as authoritative. Neither did the New Testament writers. If ever they used them, they referred to them as scriptures using the formula, quote, "It is written in the book of," end quote, or, quote, "Thus says the Lord," end quote. There is no hard evidence apocryphal books were included in the Septuagint in the New Testament time, but undoubtedly, early Christians, especially those in the diaspora, were familiar with them. They were part of Jewish tradition and heritage, and it is not surprising they were aware of and used them. In John chapter 10, verse 22, John mentions the annual Jewish feast of dedication in Jerusalem, which Jesus attended, a tradition that is recorded and enjoined in 1 Maccabees chapter 4, verse 59. As much as we are cautioned against parallelomania, quote-unquote, there is no doubt that Paul was well-versed in Jewish traditions and writings available in his time. Governor Festus recognized Paul's great learning, thus implying that Paul read the Second Temple literature too. Thus, Paul used non-biblical literature to make his points in his speech and writings. It is logical to say that Paul refers to the tradition relating to Jannes and Jambres in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Martyrdom and Ascension of Isaiah 5:11-14 is used in Hebrews 11, verse 37, making reference to those who, quote-unquote, were sawn in two. Aside from Paul, we may mention Jude, who used the assumption of Moses when he talked about the devil's dispute of the body of Moses. Apocrypha in pastoral ministry. Ellen G. White encourages pastors to become intellectual giants through continuous study for great success in their ministry. In his ministry's guest editorial entitled, quote-unquote, "Empty-Headed Ministry," Elaine Corelli affirms that, quote, "mental culture is important to an effective ministry," end quote. One of the main reasons ministers despise the study of this body of literature is that they have a wrong understanding of sola scriptura. Sola scriptura does not exclude the help of useful resources in the task of interpretation, biblical lexicons, dictionaries, concordances, commentaries, and other books such as the Second Temple literature. Concomitant with a need to critically assess these resources, ministers should also keep in mind that there are teachings that are not biblically sound in these writings. Examples include salvation by works, almsgiving saves from death and purges away every sin, and purgatory and intercession of and for the dead. It is likely that the Jews continue to hold, even cherish, such beliefs in the New Testament time. Again, the fact that apocryphal books were preserved by the church, not by the synagogue, is significant. They are preserved because justification for these doctrines is readily found in those writings. In their teaching and preaching, ministers can inform the members where these non-biblical doctrines originate. Early Judaism was the religious matrix of Christianity. This body of literature informs us of the Jewish world during the intertestamental period. It provides valuable backgrounds that enlighten us in our biblical studies. Indeed, background study is an essential step in exegesis and biblical interpretation. This is likely the reason why Ellen G. White said we should understand these writings. They have an exegetical value for biblical studies because they help us to discern the historical, religious, political, cultural, social, and literary contexts of the Bible. Pastoral ministry will be enhanced by such scholarship and commitment. For bibliographical and biblical references on this article, and for much more content for pastors and church leaders, please visit ministrymagazine.org.